I heard the word fellowship earlier, and that is that's one of the primary purposes of our church. I trust that relationships were being built and relationships were being strengthened. The community was being reached in a practical and, I might add, a delicious way, right? Pastor invited us out to come and get some tri-tip early. I just couldn't work that into my schedule. I'm kind of regretting it today. And I just want to say how proud I am to be connected in a small way to all that you are doing in this community. And I'm privileged to be here to witness this baptism and this adding of members to the fellowship. As a pastor, that has a particular touch on my heart that maybe might be different. I'm emotional too, and I'm not apologizing. All right, do we need batteries? We had this problem last time. Here. I'll just keep going, and you just fire me up. So I'm here today to just bless you and pray that God extends your influence throughout this city, and continue to draw people to His love through your obvious care and love to the community. You know, it's really all about that. Jesus gathered His boys together following His resurrection, and He gave them very specific instructions about what they were to do in order to continue His work. And you saw several of those things exemplified here this morning. That same commission is extended to each one of us, to every generation. I appreciate what Pastor not only exemplified, but he explained, is that baptism and that responsibility of water baptism is not given just to pastors. It's given to the body of Christ. The Great Commission, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them all things that you've learned and I've commanded you. And then he gives them the promise, I'll be with you even till the end of the age. This is the heart and passion of the church. This is the priority of the church, to make disciples. This is what Christ came to do. We sang about it today, our Savior. All right, everybody needs a Savior. And that's just not a song for us as Christians to say, thank you, Lord, for saving us again from our sins, but to be reminded that our world needs a Savior. And everyone needs to experience the forgiving power of Christ, the grace of Christ. And we are called to do that. We're called to go out and make disciples. That word go in that passage in Matthew chapter 8, it literally means in the Greek, just as you are going. As you're going, as you're living your life, as you are impacting your community, make disciples. The priority of that verse is the making of disciples. That's why it's so awesome to sit here today and to see our brother being baptized, okay? Led to Christ, having developed his faith and walk with Christ, today demonstrating that testimony before us today. This is not just for preachers, it's for all of us. This Great Commission is for every believer. And you know what? It doesn't matter who you are or how well equipped you may or may not feel. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 reminds us that Jesus intended to empower us with the Holy Spirit to accomplish anything that we may ask, that He may ask us to do. So anything that He asks us to do is not beyond us, even though it is beyond us, because He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish those things. So we can be confident that no matter who we are in the body of Christ, we can be used by Jesus to make disciples. We can use the gifts and talents He graces us with to draw people to His great love. Who knew that cooking delicious food could be a means to draw people to Christ? But it is. That's because good food leads to good conversations, and good conversations lead to relationships, and that is what it is all about. Relationships. I was teaching this week in John chapter 2, where Jesus did His first miracle in Cana, and at the wedding of a friend. And I think that event underscores the strategies that Jesus often employed in reaching people. We see Jesus in a multitude of ways reaching through relationships. He had dinner at Mary and Martha's house often, and there He met Lazarus, and there they all came to faith. He took a young boy's lunch and turned it into the largest fish fry in history, right there on the sea.
creating relationships. The Pharisees often condemned him for eating with publicans and sinners, and I'm sure they were not happy when he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, a notorious tax collector. But it was there, and no doubt sitting at a meal, that this wayward son of Abraham repented of his ways through relationship. So when we need to discover a strategy for evangelism, we need to look to Jesus. And we look to the passage our brother read for us here in Luke chapter 10. And we find an incredible demonstration of how to impact people's lives with the gospel of salvation. So he gathered the 12.
And in
chapter 9, he sent the 12 out. But in chapter 10, this is for the rest of us that aren't superstars. We are not the Peter, James, and Johns of the Bible. We are the unnamed 72 disciples that he sent out two by two. Okay, but he gave them very specific instructions about this, and we've read that. So I want to focus on some key truths first of all. I want to give you three key truths first. The first key truth is this, is that Jesus believes in team. He sent them out two by two. As Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two is better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Our sister alluded to that reality today when she says, we led this ministry, but thank you for everybody coming alongside because we would not have had the success without the partnership. It's in that partnership, working together, praying together, laboring together, the demonstration of joining the church. This is partnership. This is saying, I'm coming alongside. This is my church, and I choose to invest my time with you together. And we are in this together. Amen? You can say amen to me. I'm not offended by that. I like that. I come from a different kind of background when people try to, preach for me. So it's okay. If you get inspired by anything I say, please say amen. Try it with me.
Amen.
All right. That's awesome. I have students at school, and I'll often put them in teams, and I'll give them an assignment. I'll have them work together because I found a couple of things. They stay more on track when they have to be accountable to each other. There's less goofing around. The work is better because they rely on each other's strengths. And so when I have to grade it, it's not goofy. It's actually pretty good when I put them together in teams. Jesus believes in teams. Second key thought here is this: the key truth is that the harvest is plentiful. But understand something. The harvest only happens at certain times of the year. You don't harvest in the winter. So we have to understand something about each individual is at a different stage in the harvest cycle. We're at various stages of development. Some people are ready to hear the gospel. Right when we're having our fall retreat, they're absolutely ready. They come in and they're almost jumping in the boat to join us. Others are not. They're resistant. They've been drugged to the, they only came for the tri-tip. They've been drugged in here, And they're not quite sure about all these Christians and stuff. They're not quite open yet. But there are different various stages of the development. The rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 is an example of this. He came to Jesus. I've done everything. What must I do to have inherit eternal life? And Jesus turned to him, recognized that his heart is not ready, and says to him, go home, sell everything you have, give it to the poor and come follow me. And the man went away sad because he couldn't do that. His heart was not ready to follow Christ. He wasn't there. Now, that's not to say that didn't happen later. But then there's an example of a woman who is ready. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well. She's had five husbands. She's living with a man that's not her husband. She's out at noonday getting water from this well that was given by Jacob. And Jesus says to his disciples, we have to take a detour. When Jesus walked up and down from Galilee down into Jerusalem, he always went up through the Galilean Valley or the Jordan Valley, right? But he says, no, we're not going that way. We're going through Samaria. And that was a confusing thing to the disciples because Jews didn't have communication with the Samaritans. But he says, we have to go there. And there was a sense of urgency because he was going to a place to meet a woman who was ready to hear the gospel. It was harvest time for the woman at the well. And when he arrived and he entered into a very deep
and very painful conversation,
the woman didn't run from it. She didn't reject it. She opened her heart and she received the testimony and the invitation by Jesus to have living water poured out in her life. She went away and she told everybody, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. All right? So what does that tell us? It tells us that we need to pay attention to the harvest. Pay attention to the harvest. and to respond to the nudges of the Holy Spirit as He directs us towards those who are ready to hear and believe. Pay attention to those that you are interacting with every day, each week. Certainly our family members are in that circle of influence, but don't miss the people God is bringing into your life in unique ways. Think about that kid that's always playing on your yard. And you're like, get off my yard. What is that kid doing? You know, the Dennis the Menace that's living next to, you know, that's bothering you. Maybe there's something about that relationship. God's trying to get your attention that maybe that household needs faith. And God is using this little boy to bring the connection there. Look at those unique ways that God is bringing. Maybe there's that coworker that just drives you crazy. He's always standing at your desk. You're like, why are you here? Go work. And He's always drawn to you. Maybe God is working in that. Maybe God is bringing about a relationship. Again, through relationship, it's how we come to Christ. You saw that demonstrated here. You saw that demonstrated here where you have a wife standing in support of her husband as she brings him to Christ. Relationship. It's all born out of relationship. There's a good place for an amen right there. Amen. All right, good. Secondly, we need to be praying about the harvest and for the harvest. As the parable of the sower teaches us that the seed is always good. Jesus said the sower went out, He spread the seed, things grew. The problem is always with the soil, the condition of the soil. There's rocks in the soil, it's hardened and compacted, there's weeds in the soil, but whenever it fell on good soil, it produced the right thing. So what do we have to do? Our prayer and our intercession for the world, for our family members, for our co-workers, for the neighbors around us, for our community, is the rain that softens and cultivates the soil so that when the seed is given, there can be a production of life. We have to pray about it. We have to begin to pray specifically for people. All right, so the harvest is plentiful. The third key truth is this, is that the Holy Spirit is already at work in people. You know, before we even get there, we don't have to do all the work. The Holy Spirit's already been working. He's already been drawing them to Jesus. Long before you arrive on the scene, He's been working. He's been drawing. He's been calling. He's been preparing their hearts to hear the words that He will ask you to speak. My wife and I were sitting on a beach a few weeks ago, enjoying the last part of Labor Day without laboring. And my wife had an experience. Can I tell this experience? Just a little part of it. She was sitting on the beach, and my boys were with us. My boy was, and he was out walking his dog, and I was back at the car putting on my shorts because I wore jeans to the beach. That was a sin. So I was putting on shorts. And so when I came back, there was a couple of young men sitting and talking with her. I thought, who's these people making time with my wife? What's the deal? It turned out they were young missionaries, students from Berkeley, and they were out walking the beach just hearing God speak to them and see if they would be led, and they kind of felt drawn to my wife, and they said, can we offer you a word of encouragement? And so she said yes, and so they offered a word, and it was exactly what my wife needed to hear in that moment. But my wife had been, her back had been hurting all week. And the first thing this young man had experienced was, go pray for her because she's hurting. And so, but he was afraid to start with that, so he started with a word of encouragement. But later, after she was so receptive, he asked to pray for her, and they prayed for her. You know what? Sometimes the Lord is giving us little nudges. He's talking to us. He's given a direction. God was already working on that end. Okay? She needed something. She's in pain. And God sends this person along. He nudges them in the right direction, and they turn their little pathway. There was lots of people they were talking to that day. Lots of opportunities. But they zeroed in on my wife, and it was a moment that saved her because God was in that. Can you imagine if all of us were sensitive to the nudges of the Spirit? Nudges of the Holy Spirit, and understood that, hey, there's a woman at a well right now. We need to get there. We have an appointment. And that's what you read here in this passage. As he sends out the 72, what did he tell them? Don't stop along the way. Don't be doing. Get there. Go there. And go to the one house that accepts you. Go there. Pronounce peace. If peace is given back to you, stay there. Eat with them. Heal the sick. Announce the gospel has come. Stay there. There's a specific person I have in mind for you to go. Go build that relationship. Go minister God's grace. You know, often we just want to go door to door to come back. I talked to 50 people. Well, yeah, 50 people, that's great. But did you talk to the one Jesus was sending you to? Are you paying attention to the person of peace that God has prepared, that God is working with even right now to set you up? There's a setup, a divine setup. Who is this person of peace? This person of peace is usually a person who is prepared to hear the message of the kingdom. This is a person who is ready to receive what God will give them as you say to them in that moment. This is also a person who's usually already drawn to you for some reason. Notice the exchange of peace from the disciple pronouncing peace. He says, "Peace be with you," and the person responds in kind. This is not about finding a person and then getting out your C.S. Lewis book and your other books and arguing with them and defending the faith and then putting them in a headlock. Do you confess? Do you give up? This isn't about winning people to Christ that way and wrestling them in the faith. There may be moments where we have arguments and discussions with people, but God is working in those things and God is calling us to that. Let's make sure we're stepping in the moment for those things. He sent his disciples out with someone in mind, a prearranged meeting of sorts. Look at verse 7 of that passage. He tells them to stay there. We tend to think of evangelism as just door-to-door, convincing people to come to church. It's not enough just to get them to church. Listen to me. He said, eat with them, be with them. Get this phrase right here. Relationship is the conduit by which Jesus pours out his grace and mercy to the lost. It is in relationship. And right now, God has put people in and through your life, around your life, and you are the conduit of his grace. Where is the church? We're all over this community. Wherever we go, the kingdom goes. Did you know that? You are an ambassador of Christ. Where you go, you know where our president travels? When he steps on the soil, that is that where he steps into a base or he puts his foot on a ship, that is the United States of America. He carries all the authority of our great union, okay? And everywhere you go, you carry the authority of the kingdom of God, wherever you go. And it is through relationship. So we pray, Lord, prepare the soil of their hearts. Okay, so wrapping this up. Here are the directives. He says, tell them that the kingdom has come. Tell them that the kingdom has come. You are the voice of God to people in need, in pain, in confusion. And you are literally saying to them, in their time of need, God is really close to you and he wants to do amazing things in your life. Can you imagine saying that? It was a great moment, my wife sitting on the beach there, and God just showed up in the form of two little missionaries to encourage your heart that day. How would it be that someone would be in broken fellowship with God and have all pain in their life, all this struggling, and you step in and have just the right words? I had a situation happen years ago when I was a singles pastor. A young lady had kind of left the church and gotten involved in some other things, but was coming back and was feeling this guilt and this sense of condemnation. And she was struggling in and out. It was at the end of a service, and I had finished preaching, and I had given an altar call, and many of the single adults had come down and filled up the altar, and we were praying and worshiping. It was an extended time, and I stood back up because I felt God said, I have this word, I want you to say it. And I opened up the Bible, and I wouldn't normally just call anybody's name out. I would say something like, I think this is for someone in the room, and I would say the word, okay? The word was, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. When I stood up to speak, out of my mouth came her name before I could stop myself. And I called her out and I said, the Lord is saying to you, I will never leave you. She began to weep and bawl. People came around her. The next day she called me. She said her roommate had left her card. And on the inside of the card was blank where she had written a word of encouragement. But on the front side of the card was a scripture. Guess what scripture it was? It was from Hebrews chapter 13, where it says, yea, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. At the time I said those words, she was holding the card, and she was asking God, is this really true for me? And I called her by name and said, essentially, yes, it's true. That's how God works. God's working on her heart, he's working on my heart. I'm just stepping out on faith. I don't know if this is really real, but I say it, and as I say it, I become the extension of God that touches something that God's already doing in someone else, and we got, bam, we got magic. The magic of the Holy Spirit coming together. Can I get an amen right there? That was a good one. Okay. All right. You remember what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He tells us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We just want to tell them the good news. You don't have to memorize all the spiritual laws and have your all. You don't have to have all that done. Just share your heart. Share a relationship. Tell your story. tell your story, and they'll come to Christ. Acts chapter 8, Philip, he gets translated to Ethiopia, and he finds a man reading the scripture. He doesn't understand it. He goes, I know the answers. And he tells him the answers. That day, that Ethiopian was baptized and followed Christ. How many different types of relationships? There's presence evangelism. Simply just being there, modeling, acting, speaking as he would speak. Where you show kindness, when you speak encouragement, okay? Someone may be going through a difficult time, just be available. Maybe just come with some cookies and say, you know what, I'm praying for you. Maybe just a consciousness that you recognize them and that you're reaching out to them. There could be a passing relationship, at the store, on a plane. You may only see them this one time, but the Bible reminds us that Paul says some sow, some plant, and others water. You don't know where you are in the mix. And as you're sitting there talking to them and you feel encouraged to tell them something, it may just be a planting. It may be a sowing. They're still not ready for harvest, but you're a part of the process. And God could use you in those moments. Recognize that each encounter that God may place you in may have destiny in mind for someone. And finally, permanent relationships. If a passing relationship is a sprint, then our family relationships is often a marathon. We're often so anxious to get our family saved that sometimes we kind of shove it down their throats, you know, and rather just being in relationship and let them belong to us and let them come to faith in Christ. Let God do the work. Pray for them. Be committed in your prayer so God cultivates their hearts so they're open towards you. It's okay to let people belong to us before they believe. That's what Jesus did all the time. And then lastly, don't forget the power. Do you remember the story of Peter? They were on his way to pray. And as he walked into the temple area, past the gate, beautiful, by there was a man that had been sitting there for years and years and years. In fact, I believe that Jesus walked past this man because Jesus often went up to the temple. And this was this man's spot. Some of you may know some homeless people that have their certain spot. They're always there. You can always count on them to be in that area because that's their home. And this man was there, and he was calling out for alms and support. And he walks by Peter, no doubt, many times. But on this day, something's different. This day, something is happening in Peter. God is speaking to Peter. Stop right now. Turn around. He turns to the man. And he says, look at us. Look at us. Silver and gold have we none. But what we have, what is it that they had? The power of the gospel. It was alive in them. It was living in them. They said, what we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. They did that by faith. They did that because they sensed God telling them to do it. They had no power in their fingers or their hands or their abilities to make that man walk. But God was talking to them. When they did what they did, God brought the power and the man stood up. And not only was he brought into the kingdom that day, but hundreds of others were added to the kingdom because they saw the miraculous. Don't forget the power of God. God may place you in a situation that may try your faith. But as you step into it by faith, who knows? Who knows what God is doing? Who knows what harvest might result of that? I want to commend you on your faithfulness to this. Your faithfulness to reach the body that is your community. Your faithfulness to reach to your family. And I want to challenge you to understand the relationship that God has called you into. Give me this last slide here. And let's just pray together. Let's pray for the harvest. I want you to think about the person you met yesterday. Maybe someone you were in a conversation with. And as I've been talking, they're kind of coming to mind. Hey, make it a prayer. Maybe there's someone that you've seen again and again. They come every year. They haven't yet come to church, but they've come every year to your festival. I want you to pray for them. I want you to think about all the touch points in your workplace and in your maybe where you live, maybe in your apartment complex. You're always passing someone in the hallway, and you're hi, good morning, and that's the only conversation you're having. Maybe God would say to you, stop and talk to them. One day I was jogging out in the park, and as I was walking around, because I was tired jogging, I ran into a and he was walking slow, and I knew immediately he was a cancer patient. I knew he was out just as a good day for him. And I heard something in my heart say, stop and offer to pray for him. I'm a pastor, I believe in prayer, I believe in miracles. He said, stop, and I ran by. And I said, I'm going to go back around. When I come back around, Lord, if they're still there, I'm going to pray for them. When I got back, they had gone. I don't know where they went. For weeks, I ran in that park looking for them. I never saw them again. I thought I missed an opportunity. Who knows what God could have done had I just stopped and offered just to pray. A simple act. You say, well, it's just a little small thing, but it's how the Holy Spirit works. He leads us and He guides us. Jesus just asked for a cup of water. Hey, could you get me a cup of water? And it started a whole dialogue that led to a woman's salvation and an entire city coming to faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for the church that is represented in this building today. Thank You, Lord, for the anointing of love and grace that is on this fellowship. How they are bound together and knit together in your love and in Your grace. And I pray, God, that You would expand Your kingdom through each member of the body here. That You would expand Your kingdom and You would take the kingdom to places that has not yet gone. Because, Lord, as You send them into relationship, Lord, You are sending Your Spirit to do a work in people's lives. We pray for the harvest today. And we pray, Lord, that You would send us forth into the harvest. In the name of Christ, we pray. In the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.